Back here on the Mighty 690, as we continue open line, we do have almost 9:10 on the clock. And joining us, we have John Vest from the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Great. How are you doing today?
Hey, not too bad. So we're getting a little bit of rain here in Coffeyville. We can always use that. We got another round of rain on the way. Looks like some... might even have, I don't know, thunderstorms, you know, a little bit, might have a little thunder, you never know. So that's getting ready to head our way here. It's in the Claremore area right now, so, and we like that. So, hey, we do have another meeting coming up. This is the first one of the year. Hard to believe it's already here.
Yeah, it is. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And we also, tomorrow night at the meeting, we have elections coming up. And, then our dues are due also, and we'll be discussing the winter field day and a lot of other stuff too, but the winter field day is coming up the last weekend of this month, the 27th and 28th, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then of course we can, you know, have people test if you want to test, and I mean, we're a one-stop shop.
That's right. That's right. So it's going to be good. And, of course, the club has, like you said, the elections, and then the dues are really, you know, that's a big important because, you know, that's kind of how we operate things, because to say, well, what could you possibly be operating? Well, you know, some of our major expenses throughout the year are going to be the summer field day, winter field day to a lesser extent. But then, you know, it's a reminder that the club actually, you know, operates several repeaters around the area. And so that's just like, you know, the police have their radios. They can talk to each other. We also have our radios. We can talk to each other. So, you know, we have actual tower sites to maintain. And we did have a little bit of a bill here for some work on one of our tower sites. But, you know, one of our club members stepped up and donated the labor and really just had a few materials we had to buy. But he did a great job of cleaning all that up. And it's new paint, and it really looks good up there.
Yeah, it looks excellent. He did a real good job of that.
Yeah. So we got all that taken care of. And, you know, The destructive power of rodents never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to go in there and, you know, tape up some wires that, you know, they nibbled on a screwdriver. I mean, they ate part of a screwdriver handle. And I'm just like, really? What nutritional value could possibly come from that? But
anyway, good plastic.
Yeah, good plastic, I guess. So anyway, you know, doing some cleanup up there, and you know, we got some rat poison, mouse poison up there to, you know, that they, maybe they can munch on that. I think that would be a little bit better of a snack. So, but yeah, you know, a reminder that, you know, we do have some bills that we have to pay and all that good stuff. So the membership dues are a really important part of keeping it going. And your $15 that you spend a year, that'll really go far. It really does. You get a big bang for your buck as far as that goes. So I'll be looking forward to refilling the treasury here at this meeting. So come one, come all. I don't think the weather's going to really be an impact for tomorrow night. So I know we're looking more for central Kansas where, I don't think we're going to get any of that blizzard stuff.
I don't think so. The way it was looking is we're going to have maybe a dusting of snow if that.
Yep. John's already into the donut. So he
found it. I just tripped over them.
Yeah. Well, see, usually you're able to know that when they're here before we even, you know, you don't even see them come in the door and you know that they're here. So
you can't open them.
Yeah.
I can't get them open. I'll come back. I think this is important. Here.
Yes, it's very important. Yeah. Donuts.
There you go. The manager has to get first pick of things. So. Yep, there you go. All right, we got it all done there. So, yeah, important donut segment. We always appreciate the donuts, John, so you keep us well supplied. But, you know, if someone is looking to get into, you know, this hobby, there was a really cool USA Today feature. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
So USA Today, just on Friday, they aired a special where these students at this high school had actually put together all the equipment needed to talk to the International Space Station.
Yes.
And that was unique because there is a group that goes around to schools and they kind of bring it all with them. And, you know, that's really neat for the students to be able to participate. But this was unique because the fact that the students went and they bought all the equipment themselves, they hooked it up, they got it all ready, they did all the tests, and they pulled it off flawlessly.
Yeah. Well, years ago, we had amateur radio clubs at the high school and the junior high at one time. And we had a room that we had radios and all sort. I mean, it was, you know, mainly it was code back then. But,
oh, yeah.
But we had everything set up, and I don't know whatever happened to all of it, but we had it. It was there for probably 20, 25 years.
Hmm. Wow, that is cool. So and, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was actually a little club, like, you know, you have your other, you know, debate clubs and stuff like that. It was a club like that.
Hmm. That's really interesting. So, yeah, that's a good thing is, you know, this can be very, very interesting for the, you know, students to be get involved with because there's no age limit for getting your license.
No. And, I mean, you can get a license as young as, you know, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah, there's been kids who have done it.
Yes. And, you know, back then, it you know, when you're 5 or 6 years old, it's a lot easier to retain.
Well, that's right. You know, they say the you got to learn that stuff early. So
yep.
That's a great reminder there. So, yeah, if you haven't checked it out, we do have that over. One of our members actually shared it on the club Facebook page. So it's Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club, and they shared the video from the USA, or it was the Today Show. The Today Show did it, and I was just impressed that, one, they did a really good job, I thought, because not, you know, sometimes, you know, you're worried about reporters and stuff doing their homework on this hobby and topic, but I thought they did a great job. They really presented it well, and it was cool to see, actually, you know, Al Roker saying that, you know, when all else fails, that amateur radio is around. So,
yep.
I mean, I thought that was a really good showing for the hobby here on the national stage. So hopefully, you know, that's to get to expose a few more people to it. And, I mean, the best part, of course, is the video. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But, you know, the kid's calling out. For the, he's yep. trying to contact the space station. I had to call several times, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, if I was doing that, I'd be pretty nervous. Yep. Finally, it came through the static. They curved it back. And it's only about a 10-minute window because of the way, you know, it's moving right. So fast. So they got the students lined up, and they were able to ask those questions. And the other thing is, you know, they had to have antennas that were tracking it the whole time.
Yes.
Because it's moving. So it was quite a feat. I mean, that would be something that I would, you know, it would take a team, even if I was going to do it myself. I don't have that equipment. So it would be definitely a challenge, but I think it's so cool. So I really enjoyed seeing that.
Right. And you also, you can do it without getting a hold of them, but you also can go online for the space station and be able to schedule a time to actually do it.
Okay. And, okay. Yeah.
But they do, they have a ham up there every time.
Yep.
And at this point in time, every one of them that's up there are ham radio
yes,
operators.
I saw that headline. Yeah, it's pretty impressive that yes. so many of them are this time. So that's another cool thing is, you know, obviously they're busy with their other duties, but many times they can schedule some time to break away. And, you know, it's a good way for them to recreate and communicate directly with the public. So
yeah.
That's another great opportunity. And they even have automated equipment on board that will relay messages too. You can communicate directly via some digital modes with the space station as well. So that's another thing that people enjoy doing.
And another thing, I was listening to, I was on an upper band. I was listening to some traffic that was going to where the earthquake was in Japan.
Oh, okay.
In and out of there. And that was pretty interesting the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, we've had all sorts of emergency traffic being handled. And, yeah, it was a couple months ago here, but a Saturday morning, probably around 7 or 8 o'clock, Japan was rolling in just perfect. You know, it was a great signal. So that'll definitely happen. You know, we get reception reports for the mighty 690 from all over the place.
Yep.
And it's the same concept. You know, those signals can really bounce off the ionosphere,
yep.
and they can roll right in. So different parts of the world are going to come in at different times of day.
Right.
So depending on if you're going to be a night owl and stay up or get up really early in the morning, that's kind of when you can, depending on what the bands are doing, well, those actual frequencies you're doing, and, you know, the time of day, that's when, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's really all driven mostly by the sun. But the good thing is, you know, if you're looking to get into the hobby, we're getting into a point in the solar cycle where you can make great contacts a really long ways off with a marginal antenna. You know,
yes.
you don't have to have a very good antenna right,
right.
now. To make these long contacts.
Yes.
So.
And once that sun cycle hits, you'll be able to talk basically everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it when it hits, it opens up the bands to where your signal will go all over the world.
Exactly. And, you know, the good thing is it's not just a month or two. This is an 11-year solar yes. cycle. So we get to the peak of it, and so, you know, it gets better, better, better in early peaks, and then it still stays good for quite a while.
Yeah.
And even at the bottom of the solar cycle, there's still plenty of stuff to
yes.
do. There's you can still communicate. It's not like the radios just don't work anymore. It's just this is the sweet spot. So the next few years, you know, this
yep.
is going to be a great time to become a ham and really have a, you know, success at making some of those contacts without
right.
much investment.
Yeah, and like I said, you can get into ham radio for, you know, besides your license what is the license, 21?
It was 15. I think we've got the $15 testing fee.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay 35, I think,
for the first
initial one. But still, it's not bad.
And then after that, you can get right now we're actually doing a deal about radios, getting radio free, basically. And you can also, you know, get into it for, you know, $20-$25 for a radio nowadays.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's gotten to where it used to be a kind of an expensive hobby, but now it's not.
No, we're really, really getting people into the hobby for very cheap. So we're happy to help you out, you know, getting your test and all that sort of thing. And people might be wondering, you know, what is this test you speak of? But, you know, it's one of those things where this is a government test and they actually give you all the questions and answers ahead of time in a pool.
Right. And you just have to study the pool. And when you take your test, you'll get those questions, a certain amount of those questions, and boom, if you've studied real good, you'll get it.
Yeah, so that's the good thing is this is, you know, once you've studied enough, the questions should be somewhat familiar. You'll be able to remember them and take your test. So.
And it's not hard anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it really isn't.
So you just throw a little bit of time at it and you'll be rewarded. So that is the case. So, you know, if you are looking to, you know, get on our calendar here for the club, we can take people. If we have some advance notice, we can make sure we have the people there to help give the tests and that you're, you know, we have all the testing materials and that sort of thing. So, John, if people are interested in getting on the calendar or, you know, maybe they have just questions in general about the club or ham radio, how can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 620-515-0097, and I'll answer it 24 hours a day.
Pretty much, yep. And then a reminder, too, you know, we're coming up at the end of the month. We mentioned it earlier, Winter Field Day, which, you know, we had our Summer Field Day 6 months ago, hard to believe, but that's a big time, you know, where the public can come and check out our setup. And, you know, public is still definitely invited this time, but we'll be working out more of the details at tomorrow's meeting, but at least the tentative plan right now is to go ahead and have the Oak Crest Lodge up there at Feaster Park available.
It's
a big hill. It's just right across from the Aviation Museum. They're down kind of in a little hole. You know, the public is definitely welcome to stop on by. We may not have necessarily 24-hour operation, but we will plan to be there during the 27th and the 28th and have some radios set up. And, you know, this is just kind of our chance as operators to get our equipment out and because realize that emergencies don't always happen when it's 73 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, most definitely.
So this is a chance, you know, in a cold weather scenario or inclement weather scenario to still, you know, set up, have some radios, and be able to communicate in an emergency.
Yep, and anybody's welcome to come to our meetings also. They're welcome to come up there. We will answer any questions they have. We enjoy talking to people about ham radios.
Yeah, and this is, you know, one of those things where, you know, the club members are more than happy to, you know, help each other out. If, you know, we've had just a couple months ago, a member needed help getting a tower up, so we did that. And, you know, we're really happy to, you know, we've got many members who will lend each other equipment. If, you know, they're just getting started, because that's the thing. We usually end up having too many radios ourselves. So.
Yes.
So we're always happy to. It's a big hobby about passing things on.
Yeah. And mentoring other people to get into the hobby so that this hobby never dies. Because if it dies, then the communications could be gone for, you know, if we have an emergency of any type. So we want to make sure that we keep getting people in.
Yeah, for sure. So once again, you can always check out the website too, coffeevillearc.org, or the Facebook page. You're welcome to join that for updates and announcements. So anything else you want to share with us this morning, John?
That's it.
Okay, all righty. Well, John Best of the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club, we always appreciate you stopping on by here, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Coffeeville's Reawakening. On Ninth Street in downtown Coffeeville, plenty of parking in the back. We remind people that's the easiest, probably in the back, with all the fencing up and everything. Yeah, just come right in the back, and you'll see the sign. I think you got a little green light there on the back.
Yep.
So, all righty. Well, John, we'll see you here tomorrow, and I look forward to talking soon.
Have a good day.
All right, John Vest of the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club, and we do have more open line coming up next here on KGGF.